is a paradox that hope is found in suffering. The reading from Luke reminds us of this paradox, that hope is found in suffering. Hope doesn't happen when all is going well. Advent hope is not candy canes, peppermint lattes, and rum-spiced eggnog. Lovely as all of those things are, but that's not Advent hope. Advent hope is birthed in anguish and terror. Advent hope is forged from grief and disappointment. Advent hope invites us to look at our lives and our world through eyes that focus on finding God in the mess. When uncertainty visits us and stays, when a health crisis pulls the rug out from under us, when the terror of mass gun violence and catastrophic fires leave us numb with despair, it's normal and it's human to wonder why. Why? It's normal and it's human to sort and catalog events into categories, to try to make sense out of that chaos. Advent hope invites us to wonder and wake up to perceiving not from normal, not from human. Advent hope invites us to wonder and wake up to perceive through the vision of God. When early Christians looked for the return of Jesus, they were trying to make sense out of their chaos. They were sorting out events that provoked fear. They anticipated not simply the return of Christ, but the culmination and the redemption of all history, an end to death and tears and mourning forever, entirely. Early Christians held a variety of views on the coming of Christ. There was never a single agreed-upon standard about the return of Jesus. The revelation of John is a not-so-thinly veiled political and social commentary on living under the oppressive persecution of Rome. Any day, Jesus is going to come back. He's going to redeem us out of this mess. That's the hope in that text. Paul also believed Jesus would return any day, although he never read the revelation of John. The community to whom the Gospel of Matthew was written, however, believed Jesus never left. You can look for yourselves at the very end of the Gospel of Matthew, words of Jesus, the very last sentence is, "Remember, I am with you always to the ends of the age. I am with you always." Mark's Gospel, which is the earliest account of the story of Jesus, doesn't even address it. Luke is the only one that tells the story of the ascension, and in that story, Jesus is giving a blessing at the end, and he just gets up and leaves in the middle of the blessing. You can make of that what you will. John's Gospel asserts that Christ is in and through all time. The beginning is the end, and the end is the beginning. It's all held. This is the cosmic Christ. Advent is the season Christians anticipate the coming of Christ. Not only the Christ child, but the fully formed Christ of the revelation of John, the Christ of Matthew's gospel who never left, and the cosmic Christ revealed in the theology of John's gospel. And please remember that the gospel of John and the revelation of John, they're different guys, okay? It's a popular name, the name John. There were a lot of Johns back then. There are a lot of Johns now. We anticipate the coming of Christ. That's a focus of our faith life for the next 23 days. You know that what the Orthodox do to prepare, our Orthodox friends here at St. Anne's, you know how they prepare? They fast. It's a little Lent. It's often referred to as a little Lent. Anticipation is a form of hope, of looking forward. Advent hope needs imagination. In order to look into the future, we need imagination. Madeleine L'Engle is considered to be one of the imaginary luminaries of the last century. But when she was turning 40, she was well into a self-described decade of failure. She'd been a published author of fiction, poetry, but she also faced a lot of rejection. A lot of rejection. None of us likes rejection. Another rejection letter came to her in the mail. She'd had it. She put the cover over her typewriter and said, "I'm done." But, as she writes in her journal, a moment of decision came. She wrote, "If I never had another book published, and it was very clear to me that this was a real possibility, I still had to go on writing." It's a good thing she did, because she still hadn't written the work for which she is most known, A Wrinkle in Time. Advent hope is not captive to productivity or results. Advent hope is an in spite of, a because of endeavor. In spite of rejection, one continues efforts of creativity. Because one is gifted with creative energy, one continues. And this creativity is not limited to the arts, to writing or painting or sculpture or photography. Creativity is any endeavor that increases the light of God, the love of God, the life of God in tangible ways. All of us are created to be creative. When Madeleine L'Engle finished A Wrinkle in Time, her then editor rejected it. The work was rejected 40 times in 2 years. 40 times. That's a biblical number. Even after the book was accepted, the men at the publishing company, and yes, they were all men at the time, they didn't expect too much out of this publication, and one of their outside readers even had written to them, "I think this is the worst book I have ever read." It was science fiction with a female protagonist. Okay, the last Star Wars movie did pretty well, don't you think, with a female protagonist? But that just wasn't done then. Her editor said, "It's going to be a hard sell. We're young readers, really up to this dystopian setting, and it's complicated Einstein concepts, really." A Wrinkle in Time is still the number 2 top-selling children's book in this country. Charlotte's Web is number 1, and Harry Potter is number 3. I couldn't believe it still outranks Harry Potter? Yeah, amazing. It worked out for Madeleine, didn't it? It worked out. But what happens when our hope seems wasted and it wears out? Sustaining hope requires effort. The political philosopher Hannah Arendt wrote that hope is the capacity to sustain political will. The will, it's a choice. And for people of faith, it's a decision again and again to choose to see God in the middle of the mess, regardless of outcome even. Etty Hellesum chose hope. She chose love over and over in the middle of the mess that we call the Holocaust. She spent her last weeks of freedom supporting people who were facing deportation to Auschwitz. In the crucible of enemy occupation, in the terror of captivity, in the humiliation of daily abuses and uncertainty, when she and her family would be put on the train to Auschwitz, Etty wrote. She wrote in her journal. And in the middle of a mess, as she wrote and conversed with God and her soul, she discovered God inside her and all around her. In the middle of a mess, she found the hope of God. "I am not afraid to look suffering straight in the eye," she wrote on October 8, 1942. And at the end of each day, there was always the feeling, I love people so much. Never any bitterness about what was done to them, but always love for those who knew how to bear so much, although nothing had prepared them for such burdens. And then in 1942 of July, earlier that year, she's writing to God, and this is what she writes. All we can manage these days, and also all that really matters, that we safeguard that little piece of you, God, in ourselves, and perhaps in others as well. Alas, there doesn't seem to be much you yourself can do about our circumstances, about our lives. Neither do I hold you responsible. You cannot help us, but we must help you and defend your dwelling place inside us to the last. The narrative changes and shifts when we learn to look for God in the middle of the mess. This is when we begin to see that way out of no way. We begin to see the creativity in the destruction. We see the arc of justice through the stories of oppression and liberation. Look for God in the middle of the mess, even now, at our own border, just 200 miles away, and be converted by the compassion of Christ. Look for God in the middle of that mess. Let us be challenged to set aside whatever prejudices or preconceptions or blame and shame that of the lens that we look through. And look through God's lens of Advent hope. It is the hope of the world, Christ of great compassion, who beckons us to be this dwelling place for God in our time and in our place. Jesus returns again and again as his community stands up and steps out incarnationally into this world. Advent hope guides our journey to become the dwelling place for God, the incarnational, lived presence of God light, God love, and God life. This is where we hope we can get to by Christmas. Let's hope we can get there by Christmas. Amen. Our hymn of dedication is called Creator of the Stars of Night. And as we were reminded at the beginning of the service and as we lit the candle of hope, people have looked to the stars for guidance and reassurance and hope for millennia. We know that God is in the stars and in the light that is in each one of us. Let us stand together and sing our hymn of dedication, Creator of the Stars of Night.